Starting now, or a chayim of Tzurba Rabbanan, and Adam asked me on Shabbos about the background. So I thought it's to take 2-3 minutes and just talk very quickly about what a chayim is and where it comes from. So the Tur, right, Rav Yaakov ben Asher, who was the son of the Rosh. And we're going to come to the Rosh in a moment. We're going to see actually he's mentioned in our first year today. So the Rosh was an interesting person, because the Rosh was a Rishon. Right, that he originally started off his life in Germany. He was the Talmud of the Maharami Rotenburg, who was one of the leading the last generation of Balei Tosfot. A lot of the Gemara's Tosfot, in fact, we're learning now in Daf Yomi Yuma, the whole of Yuma, the Tosfot is all the Maharami Rotenburg. It's quite unique. The whole of the Sefer of Masechet Yuma is all him. So he was a Talmud of the Maharam. And don't get me now exactly in the years, but in about the 1200s, around about that time, he was arrested. Ram was arrested in Germany, and the Rosh was his main Talmud, and he gathered up a ransom to pay, and the Maram refused to use the money. He said, not going to do it, it's a bad precedent. If he pays money to let him free, they'll start capturing other important Jews, and the Jewish community will go broke. So he actually died in prison. The Rosh then, as a result, a couple of days later, ran away. And he ran away to Spain. When he arrived in Spain, the gadol in Spain at the time was the Rashba, right? The Rashba was one of the main talmidim of the Ramban, and he lived in Spain. He was in Barcelona at the time, and then he sent him up, and he went off to Toledo, I think, and he went in the end, and he settled there. And what interesting was that being an Ashkenazi moving into a Sephardi country, now they grew up as Ashkenazi, and the Rosh and his children, a lot of children, most of them all died actually. And truth is that one of his children got out, he died in poverty, he died a poor person. All his children either died or were killed. There was a lot of anti-Semitism in the time, and most of them were actually killed. But the interesting was that this was the beginning of Ashkenazi meeting Sephardi. And up until now, we had Ashkenazi Talmidei Chachamim in Germany and in France and the Balei Tosfot, etc. You know, the Sephardi Talmidei Chachamim in Spain and in North Africa in their areas. And there was very little interaction between them. Suddenly, the Rosh arrives in Spain, becomes a great rabbi in Spain. The Rashba accepts him, suggests he moves north and becomes a rabbi in his own right. And he becomes a Galil son, right? Rav Yaakov ben Asher realizes that there's a need now to start writing halacha. And for him, it was very important. Also, there was a time before the expulsion of Spanish Jewry, and people started wandering around, and the Ashkenazim were wandering around. A lot of interaction between them, and he wrote a sefer called the Baal HaTurim. And it was one of the first people to coordinate halacha in an orderly fashion. Up until then, other than the Bahag, but most of the people, like even his father, the Rosh, had written halakha, but according to the order of the Gemara. And that's, if you wanted to know something about, I don't know, let's say, getting married, you'd open up Masechet Kiddushin. If you're looking for something about, we're going to get to Nishinat Yadayim now, so you'd open up Masechet Brachot, and you'd hope you'd find it there. You know, you had to know where things were. Very difficult. Comes the Tur, and he says, as opposed to the Rambam had a different order. The Rambam had his own order, but the two of them basically the same ideas. And he set up a system called Arba Turim. Arba Turim comes from the Choshen Mishpat that the Kohen Gadol wears on his breastplate. There are four rows. Okay? So each one is called a Tur. So there are four Tur, right, of the different stones, and the stones, all the Shvev, etc., but four Turim. And one of the books in the Arba Turim is actually called Choshen Mishpat, which was called Choshen Mishpat. That's actually more what like Dayanim, judges, deal with. So it's a play on the words of Mishpat, of Mishpatim, etc. And Choshen Mishpat from the word Choshen Mishpat of the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol. And the three other pillars are Orachayim. Orachayim is way of life. Now it's quite amazing. The Tur writes in his introduction. I wrote it down. Let me just see if I can find it now. The Tur writes in the introduction. In the introduction he writes about two Orachayim. Then we'll start. He writes over there, he says like this. He says, V'karati sefer ze orachayim. I wrote this book, Orachayim, the first volume. Why? Ki hu yasir mimokshei mavet lehochim bo'orchotav. This volume, this book, will remove all the stumbling blocks, right? All the traps, actually, like mokshe, like a mokesh is a landmine, like all the mines of death from those who follow in its way. So it's orech chayim, the way of life. If you follow this, you manage to miss out the traps of death. In other words, this is the sefer which is a person meant to live his life by. The next volume is Yoredeya. Yosma Yoredeya comes from a pasuk. We'll get to him. Please go. We'll get to Yoredeya. We'll discuss it there. But there are psukim around all these things. And Yoredeya is about his also similar. But these are the more practical, down to earth, very basic halachas. If you look in just the topics of what they are, you can see in this volume over here. So the topics include, but not limited to, so waking up in the morning, washing your hands, tzitzit, making tzitzit, etc., the mitzvah of tzitzit, the tchelet of tzitzit, tefillin, then we'll get into davening and into minyan and in shaliach tzibur and in the laws of Sefer Torah, and now that's 16 Yerodah. And then Chazar HaShatz, and then the Chagim, and Shabbos, and Musaf, and fasting, and all the different things. That's Orach Chaim, basically what a Jew, the most basic stuff that we need to be a Jew. So I don't think that one can start off a shir on Orach Chaim without actually reading the very first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch in Sefer Orach Chaim, which is how the Shulchan Aruch starts, and it's actually how the Tur starts. One thing I left out. So the Tur wrote the Sefer called the Arba Turin. Okay, about three, and that became the basis of it. Was actually one of the first or second Hebrew book printed. It was like quite a successful book in its time because the printing press had started already. And I actually wrote it down somewhere. I think it was printed the first time in about 1475. I can't see it now, but something like that. Early, very early, early, early printing book. One of the first or second Jewish Hebrew books printed. Very successful. And that became halacha. And like I said, basically what the Tur did was, he took his father, who was the Rosh, was a real big Talmid Chacham, and brought machlokot between other Rishonim before him, who argued with his father. And most of the time, he brings his father's halacha and he supports his father, whatever the case was. He brings also, obviously, Svardi and other halachot like it. 300 years later. Okay, 300 years. This is around about the 1250s. 300 years later, in the 1560s, Rav Yosef Karo arrives in Tzvat, or even before then, he starts writing a Sefer. And he has to decide now, he's 300 years later, there's a lot written on the Tur, a lot of commentaries on the Tur, a lot of stuff being written that maybe the Tur didn't include that he wants to include as well. And he writes a commentary on the Tur called the Beit Yosef. Now, why did he choose the Tur and not the Rambam? He writes an introduction that actually he wanted to use the Rambam. But the Rambam had a way of writing. He never mentioned the sources. He never wrote down where the psukim, where the halachas came from. The Rambam said everything just in a very stamit way. Where the Tur gives sources and opinions and arguments, etc. It was more meat for the Beit Yosef to write on. So he writes this unbelievable compendium of halacha, where basically goes through all the Rishonim that you can imagine. He must have access to a huge library as a commentary on the Tur. And then he writes a summary, which is called the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan, and he follows the same order as the Tur. So that's why today when we learn Shulchan Aruch, we're basically following the same order of the Arba Turim, because the Shulchan Aruch is written as a summary of the Beit Yosef, and he wrote it as a summary. By the way, we're going to do now, over the next 4 years, the Shulchan Aruch wrote it in a way that you meant to do Chazorah on the whole Shulchan Aruch every how many days, Ira? 30 days. Okay, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, you said it, eh? You know the Shulchan Aruch as a kitzur of the Beit Yosef, said every 30 days the Jews should do Chazor, the whole Shulchan Aruch. Okay, we now, in the Tzur B'Shir, with a lot of watered out stuff, take 4 years once a day, once a week. So let's say 4 years is how many weeks? 200 weeks. 200 weeks is how many days, let's say? What, 200 divided by 30? I don't know. About 100, I don't know how many. How many months is that? How many 200? I don't know, 48 months. So we take 48 months to do what's meant to take a month. Okay, give you an idea what we're talking about. Bottom line is, that's how we get to Orach Chaim. That's how we get to the Tur. And the Shulchan Aruch is based on that. And really, since the Shulchan Aruch, that's more or less the place that everybody goes to for halacha. When it comes to Orach Chaim, right, in the late 1800s, early 100s, it was the Chofetz Chaim. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan lived in Radin, in some of Poland, where it changed, the borders changed, Lithuania, Poland. And he wrote the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah really did almost what the Beit Yosef did on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Tur. Beit Yosef took all the Rishonim before that. The Mishnah Berurah already took all the Achronim from the time of the Shulchan Aruch already until his time, and codified Lochan basically all the Achronim. And then you got later, this is a great Shulchan Aruch called the Dirshu. We sort of try to do an upgraded version, to bring it more down to our time. Rav Baruch once said to me that since the Mishnah Berurah, no one hardly looks at the Achronim that are mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. But we're going to see now. So the beauty of Tzurba is, and we're going to go through all of that. We're going to see, we'll see the Psukim, we'll see the Tzurba, and we'll see the Tur, we'll see the Gemara, we'll see the whole story, all the way down to Halacha, and we'll try and make some sense out of it. Okay, so that's a little bit of an introduction. Please give us context of what we're doing. So I said I wanted to start with the first Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, which is actually the first Halacha in the Tur. The Tur is like this, Yitgaber Kari Lamod Baboker Avodat Boro. A person should wake up, yitgaber, overcome himself like a lion in the morning, la'avodat boro, to the service of his creator, sheyehu me'orer hashachar. Now what that means, you should basically wake up in the morning. You shouldn't wait, the morning should wake you up, you should wake up in the morning, okay? And then, there's one other thing which I left out, which I want to say, which is very important, so before I finish here. At the same time, more or less, that the Beit Yosef was writing his commentary on the Tur, in Sfat, there was the Ramah, Rav Moshe Ishelis, who was an Ashkenazi living in Krakow in Poland, who was doing a similar job. And the Tur, the Beit Yosef sort of, I think, was a bit ahead of him and came out first. It was written in parts at the beginning. And once he heard about the Beit Yosef writing on the Shulchan, on the Beit Yosef writing on the Tur, he said, listen, the Beit Yosef is a gadol. There's no need for two people to do the same job. I think it's the first and last time in history that somebody has said that there's no need for two people to do the same job. And said, you know what? If the Beit Yosef is doing it, I will stop. And he stopped doing what he was doing. You're right. He stopped. He basically packed it up. He decided, no, not doing it. And what did he do was he wrote a commentary on the Tur called the Darkei Moshe, which he then wrote a commentary on the Tur, really seeing the Beit Yosef. So he refers to the Beit Yosef. And his idea was, since the Beit Yosef was a Sfardi, Rabbi Yosef Chai was a Sfardi, he wanted to fill in the Ashkenazi gaps. So really what he did was he wrote the Darkei Moshe on the Tur, filling in the Ashkenazi gaps within the post of the Beit Yosef. And then on the Shulchan Aruch, he took the Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Yosef Kara, and he wrote onto what's called the Hagahot, right, which is known as like the Mapa, the tablecloth. So the Shulchan Aruch is the table, and you have the tablecloth on top of the table, and he wrote into it wherever he felt that there was Ashkenazi halakha, which was separate in most of the cases to the Sephardi halakha, he added it in. But he basically absorbed himself into the framework of the Shulchan Aruch, which was unbelievable, and he's been appreciated that for years. And really, I think that's what made the Shulchan Aruch such a successful book, because it's the first time that you've got Ashkenazi, Sephardi really coming together, living in harmony, and doing it. So on that, let's get into the halakha. So now, our Sefer picks up not with Siman Aleph, right, which is the beginning. The Shulchan Aruch then skips over a whole lot of things. Wake up in the morning, what you say in the morning, and getting for the morning, and how you get dressed, and the order of getting dressed, and putting on your shoes, and go to the toilet. A whole lot of things that are written there. A guideline of everything to just one thing, for example. He writes in the Tur that a person who gets in the morning should put his right shoe on first, but tie his left shoelace. Why? He learns from Tefillin. It says, Tefillin you do on the knotting, therefore all time you do with your left hand. That's just to give you an idea to the level of detail that the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Tur, go into. So here we start now with waking up in the morning, and you open up your eyes, and now there's a Magen Avraham. Now, I mentioned to you already a lot. I don't want to bombard us all with too much information, but we saw the Tzirat HaZman, how you say Tzirat HaZman, like over the time frame. So we started over here, our book starts with the Tur. Then the Beit Yosef writes a commentary on the Tur. Then the Beit Yosef publishes the Shulchan Aruch. Now, on the Shulchan Aruch, there are super commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so you've got the classic ones in Aruch Chaim, or the Magen Avraham and the Taz, we'll get to them later on. But because Halakha, as a rule, follows what's called the Batra, the later opinions, so the later the people are, the more authority they have for us. So when you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you open it up. Shulchan Aruch brings a Halakha, and the Ramah will say something for the Ashkenazim. But when you look at the later commentaries, like the Magen Avraham and the Taz, the Shulchan Aruch, they become quite important because they're already 100 or 200 years late, or 300 years late in some cases, and they become more significant. So they, often you'll find that the halacha is according to them, even when they, if they argue with the Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes there are things which they add which aren't in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's where we start today. Can I ask you to put the air conditioner on, please? So now, we start today, ask you, Mishnah Berurah, right? The Mishnah Berurah says like this. Tov lomar teke bekumo modern lefanech benechai b'kan shalat b'nishmi d'chem lar b'abunatecha. It's good to say in the morning, when you wake up in the morning before you open your eyes, as you open your eyes, Mordeani, you say, because I'm thankful to you, living and enduring King, as you return my soul in kindness, great is your faithfulness. Now, a lot of people say, Mordeani lefanech benechai b'kan shechizarta bi nishmati, Bechemla Rabbah. It's not Bechemla Rabbah, right? It's not with, in kindness, which is great. But it's Shechizata Bidishbati Bechemla. You return my soul in kindness, and then you may take a pause and say, Rabbah Emunatecha, right? Great is your Emunah, your faithfulness. Basically, the whole concept here of God returning our soul. He's showing how great he is. He takes us away at night, and he brings us back in the morning, and there's a great faithfulness. It's quite an important a nuance over that. But where does this come from? Because as you see over here, the first time that it's mentioned is in the Seder Hayom, which is cited by the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham is a later commentator, right, on the Shulchan Aruch. So we're starting off with something which we are giving you a whole example now. Started with a tour, went to Beit Yosef, went to the Shulchan Aruch, blah, 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 all the other line, and we're starting off now with a custom which the first time it's mentioned is there. So it's not so pashut. It really goes back to a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Samach Amud Bet, 60 Bet. If you look at page 26 now. Okay, where it says over there, that when one wakes, should recite, my God, Elokai Neshama. We say this in the davening, it's in our siddur. Elokai neshama shnatata bi Torah, God the Son, you can place me is pure. You formed it within me, right? Ata yatzar to be, ata nafach to be, you breathed it into me, ata mesham rabik, you got it inside of me. Va'ata atid itlamin, you're eventually going to take it away from me. And then ulach zira bilatil, give it back to me in the end of days. And then cause much rabik, you be, and while it's in me, mordani fanecha, thank you, God. And I will have a time, my God and God of my fathers, reborn kol ha'olamim, right, the master of the whole world, Adon kol neshamot, the master of all the souls, Baruch atah Hashem, machazir neshamot lifkarim meitim. So really, that's how the Gemara starts. So we want to go pre the tour already, to the time of the Gemara, which is in the 400-500s. So why do we start with saying, Mordeani lefanecha? Why do we say, Elokai neshama? So there's a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it as well, by the way, Halacha. Shulchan said, Kishu b'shanato yomar Elokai neshama. However, he says, look at the Shulchan Aruch here, there on page 26 as well, in the green. So however, what's the problem? Mipnei she'ena yadayim nekiot, na'agul l'shem v'rakneset, because our hands aren't clean, we can't say Elokai neshama. Okay, it was full of God's name. Look every time it says Elokai, it is Elohai. Then I tell you, then it said like this, because when we're Mordeani lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Velokei Avoteinu, Ad Baruch Ata Hashem. So five times you've got him with a broken, you can't say it, your hands are dirty. So therefore the Chachamim had a problem, because when a guy wakes up in the morning, you want him, as he wakes up, to thank God for his soul. So therefore they came up with this version of Mordeani lefanecha, which is really like a simplified way of saying Elokai Neshama without mentioning God's name. And now we've got a problem. You can say that without your hands being dirty, with your hands being dirty, etc. So it's like a technical way to overcome a problem. You want to say Elokai Neshama. And now, as a result of that, we say Elokai Neshama in Shul. Okay? So that is, and the Mishnah Berurah says, you only wash your hands. Your hands are dirty. Why? Ki ein maskir b'zeh anusach lo shem v'lo kinui. You don't mention either God's name or even a nickname of God. You don't refer to God at all. So therefore, we've got a technical way. We got out of a basic problem. Like in the morning, the first thing we thank God for getting our soul back. We don't have to get to us. That's the Magen Avraham mentions later on after that. Okay. So now the question is as follows. When we got a, so our problem, we said, why couldn't we say Elokai? Because we have to wash our hands. So now what's the problem with our hands? Why do we have to wash our hands? That's the problem. So yeah, we got a machloket rishonim, why we have to wash our hands. Okay, I mentioned already the Rosh, who was the father of the tour, right? And I said the Rosh, remember he came, he escaped from Germany, ran to Spain. Who was the guy in Spain? Was the Rashba. The Rashba was there, he stayed in Boston, and he moved on somewhere else. And the two of them now, imagine this. The Rashba accepts the Rosh, they acknowledge him as a gadol. The Rosh acknowledges the Rashba as a gadol. But they disagree over why you wash your hands in the morning. Right? I disagree with other things as well. But they disagree why you wash your hands in the morning. And fundamentally disagree. It's not just, I say this, you say that. The Rosh, we'll see in a moment. Right? You know, there's actually a nice summary. Look over here. The basis for crying out to the dime in the morning, accompanying the recitation of a brocha, is subject to the debate of the Rishonim. The Rosh argues that the brocha derives from a person's obligation to prepare and clean himself for tefillah. So the Rosh, maybe, I don't want to sound take sides, but the Rosh being an Ashkenazi is trying to be a little bit more practical. Okay? And he says, bottom line, he's waking up in the morning, the Lashon, the language the Rosh uses over here, look at the Gemara in Brach, remember I said that the Rosh wrote his halakha according to the order of the Gemara. Prior to the tour, you wanted halakha, you went to the back of the Gemara. If we had time now, I'll pull out a Gemara and show you in the back. They're still printed today, the Rosh, and you can find the halachas over there. So this is printed in Brachot, right? In the pages there, it's Tet Kaf Gimel. It's like, it's Kimash Enomer Baruch HaShem Kishon Tzavishon Ratzat Shnai, make a brocha. Why do you make, you have to make a brocha, says the Rosh? Lefi Shiyadav Shiradam Askaniyot Hayin. The Alex is nodding his head, right? That's a nice, I read it in Hebrew specifically, because it's nice to hear the Hebrew. Askaniyot. What do you mean Askaniyot? An Askan, someone who's busy. You have like today, for example, an Askan is like a macha. He's always busy running around doing things. He says, an askan. His hands are busy. What mean your hands are busy? We're lying at night. Your hands are busy. We all know that. You know where your hands have been. Right? So your hands go all over the show. So you don't know where your hands have been. The chance they went into your pants and scratched around. And now you've got to wash your hands. That's what the Rosh says. Pashut, practical reason. You're getting ready for davening. You're ready to meet Hashem. You can't do it with dirty hands. The Rashba says no. The Rashba says the follows. It says, the fish b'shachar. Anu nasim kibriya chadasha. It's got like a more spiritual approach. It says in the morning we recreated. Remember, we couldn't say lokai neshama. We said modern lefanecha. Give us back our soul. In the morning, when we go to sleep at night, the understanding is that sleep is like a 60th of death. When you go to sleep, your soul leaves your body and goes off to better neshamot. We wake up in the morning; it comes back. The soul coming in is a whole new creation. The we'll see the Arizal and the Kabbalists say that when your soul leaves your body, so nature abhors a vacuum, and now there's something missing in your body. So what happens? Ruach ra'ah, evil sorts of forces overtake that space that was left. When your soul comes in, it forces them out, and they leave through the tips of your fingers. Why? I don't know why. Right? That's what it is. Leave the tips of your fingers. The tips of your fingers have got ruach ra'ah on them. We're going to get that in a second. But just put it back in your mouth. It's all connected. So the Rashba says, you're a new Bria. And he said there, quotes a pasuk, chadashim lav karim rabbi mulatecha. That's basically where modern lefanecha comes from, by the way. Modern lefanecha v'kam shechezat rabbi nishbati b'chimla rabbi mulatecha. It's based on this pasuk. The pasuk says, right, because it says in Eicha, Chadashim lab karim, we knew to the morning, Rabba emunatecha, great is your emuna, your nemanut. Ukamoshe ba'alehem zechel ebbe midrash. V'tshichiran lehodot lo yitbarach, we have to thank God, al shebaranu lichvado, we were created for his honor, lesharto, to serve him, ulevarech bishmo, and to bless his name. So the Rosh, quickly again, the Rosh is very practical, your hands are skaniot, they're all over the shop, you've got to wash them. The Rashba says, no, when you wake up in the morning, you're a new creation. Therefore, new creation has to wash it like a kohen, wash his hands before he does any avodah. You have to wash it before you go and dive into Hashem. And the Rosh says, v'al-zeh-tik-du b'shachar, they created the thing that you do now. I'm going to start, and Mishnah Berurah says, l'alacha, we do both. Now, that's a very Ashkenazi thing, by the way. Sfaradim haven't got a problem with paskening halocha. That's halocha. You like it, you don't like it, it's halocha. Ashkenazim, what can we do? We're always trying to find a way to make everybody happy. Like a Polish mama. Want everybody to be happy, anybody to be upset, and therefore that's mamash. The Rama does it very often. He says you do both. Mishnah Berurah, yeah, things like that. We've got the Rama, we've got the Rosh and the Rashba arguing. Mishnah Berurah says best to do them both. We wash in the morning and we make a brocha, We're going to see now, when do we wash? Because washing also a problem. Do you wash straight away or before davening or after the toilet? Because according to the Rosh, why are you washing? Because your hands are dirty. So if you go to the toilet, you're going to stay dirty. So now you've got to wake up after you go to the toilet. If you're the Rashba, as soon as you've woken up, you're already a Bria. You should be washing right now, make the bracha right now. But so we're going to see, we're going to link it later on. We're going to say in the end, what do we do? We prefer you to actually make the bracha at shul. Don't make the bracha at home. Wash your hands now. Make the bracha at shul. Make it part of the davening. If you go to the toilet, wait till after you go to the toilet. Now, most people in the morning, a lot of people in the morning, end up going to the toilet twice. As they wake up, most men or women have to go to the toilet quickly and urinate. And then it happens again sometimes during davening. If you know, we'll see this day, if you know you have to go to the toilet a second time, wait till the second time to make the bracha. Okay? You're getting the picture, right? You're in the picture. Okay, just kidding. So now, the outcome comes, when do we make the bracha? So now the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Dragin, they are the Minag. Some people wait to make the Chadayim and they're Rabin Shul. And they also arrange it together with other brochas. He says, however, Ubenei Sfarad, Lord Nagu Kain. Sfaradim, we'll see that they don't, but yeah, okay. And now the Ramah adds, the Ramah says like this, Al Kol Panim, however, the bottom line, you don't make two brochas. And whoever made a broch at home should make a broch in Shul. And whoever makes a broch in Shul should make a broch at home. So now what happens now? Now the Ramah is very practical. All of us here get up in the morning before shul to learn for 2 or 3 hours. So now you wake up in the morning and you want to learn. And you're going to get a shul in 2 hours' time. And you want to go to the toilet now. You're going to wait till you go to shul, take a broch in 2 hours. You might have had 2 cups of coffee and gone to the toilet 3 times before you got to shul. So the Ramah says like this. Someone who learns before they go to shul. Or mit palel kol mudavens first at home before he comes to the finish. Riyavarchem beveto. He should daven and make the broch at home and not make the broch in shul. Says however, the rabbi ends off as however. Nonetheless, even though I've said that, afilu bechagav, even under these circumstances, there are those who are noheg to make the brocha with the other brochas in the shul and not to make a brocha at home. The brochas include asher yatzar. I'll nitlat yadayim and asher yatzar. So your question is, you made the brocha, you learned at home, you should make the brochas at home, right? So they don't have to go together. We're used to them all being coupled together because we're following the set of the order. But really, if according to this first opinion, if you're learning at home, you definitely have to make the brocha of the Torah. That goes that day. Call them out, make your brocha of the Torah. That was one reason we said the second time we should destroy it because they never made a brocha before they learned Torah. But you might not have to make a brocha on Al Nitlat Yadayim. Asher Yatzar you make, because Asher Yatzar is on our discussion now. But after you've gone to the toilet, you make Asher Yatzar for a different reason. We're talking about the Al Nitilat Yadayim brocha now. Not Asher Yatzar, the Al Nitilat Yadayim on washing your hands. Okay. So now, the Mishnah Berurah says again, and Tov Yotesh, Lo Yivarech Afilu Bikat Yadayim, Ad Nachran Tashnia, the second time, remember I said when you go to the toilet, and especially he says, if you know that you have to go to the toilet again, then you should definitely wait till after you've been to the second time. So if you know you're a person who goes to the toilet more than once in the morning, even before Yishtabach, we'll see now, delay that until you get to that. Okay. Then the Chaya Adam, now I've got to tell you this is quite a nice joke. We've got a guy in Tel Mond, actually, who's a Danziger, and the Chaya Adam was a Danziger, and we've got a guy who comes here on to the shul sometimes. He's not a from guy, but he's a Danziger, and he's a direct descendant of the Chaya Adam. Right, so he told me this, I had heard this before, it's a famous joke. The Chaya Adam says, you know, you've got the Shulchan Aruch, and you've got the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You got every book you got a Kitzur, the short one. So he says, why did the Chaya Adam write, name his book, the Chaye Adam, the life of man? Because he knew that no one would ever write a Kitzur Chaye Adam. He says, no one's going to want to write a Kitzur Chaye Adam. No one's going to want to make their life short. Okay, so it is. The Chaye Adam is a very serious posek in the 1700s. He writes here, right, that it's correct. Lamtin milavarech al adam should wait ad la achash nakerts mov rotzeri palel ayen sham tamo acharkach matzati besefer maser rav shchein the gra the Vilna Gaon as well was not exactly the same thing. So how do we sum up over here? The Chaya Adam says follow the bottom of the note number 6 that when one recites the bracha after giving himself short before Twitter, he therefore fulfills reason of the Rosh as well as the Nitilat Yadayim of the Rashba, because basically the Rashba says your new bria. And your new bria, he allows you to delay the brocha. The Rosh wants you to prepare yourself for davening, so push it off until you can, as late as you can, prepare for davening, and you've got them all the same. It's probably an Albach brings it here as well, a more modern posek. And we now get to the real base of all of this. I said at the very beginning that when your body, when you go to sleep at night, and your soul leaves your body, So the soul connects to your body and displaces the ruach ra'ah, this evil spirit that's taken over you. So the shir carries on and says as follows. See, we've seen the practical reasons, the machlok between the Rashba and the Rosh of why you vas. But let's go back into the Gemara now, a couple hundred years back, and see what the Gemara is like. Amar Rav Mona, Shem Rabbi Yehuda, it's like yad la'ayin tekatzeitz. If you touch your eye in the morning before you've washed, your hand should be cut off. If you've touched your any other orifices, right, your hand should be cut off. If you touch a bucket of water, your hand be cut off. And he says, quotes a brighter here. He says, Rabbi Natan Omer, bat chorinizu, this ruach ra, this spirit is a free spirit, got no control over it. Makpedet ad sheyirchotz yadav kilum pamim, and we'll basically be in control until you wash your hands three times. So now we discussed in the morning why you wash, but now we're discussing how you wash and what the real washing is doing. So according to the reason over here that we saw, the Rosh says because you've got to prepare yourself. The Rashba says because of creation. But really in the back of all their minds, there's this Ruach Ra'ah hovering over you. And the Gemara says, wash your hands three times. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says, wash your hands, and they make a brocha, and be careful, says the Shulchan Aruch, to pour water over your hands three times to get rid of the Ruach Ra'ah. The Vilna Gaon says, once you actually do it for a fourth time, right, you do it four times. The fourth time is to get rid of the actual water. So you do three times to get rid of the ruach ra'ah, and you pour a fourth time to wash that water off. Now, just very quickly, without going into the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah gives a bit of a summary, and he says like this: you should do it three times, and you already have a revit of water. By the way, you should try a revit. Have a revit of water. Revit not a lot. A revit of a lug is about 330 milliliters, right? Something like that. A revit lug is 86 milliliters. But you can always remember that because the gematria of kos. Right? Kaf, Vav, Samach. Kos. Kaf is 20. Samach is 60. 60 and 20 is 80. Vav is 6. 86. So 86 milliliters is a revit. Okay? That's how you remember it. For Pesach, you have to have a revit of wine, etc. Kos. See, 86. That's the minimum amount of water that you need. With that, what about you wash three times? If you haven't for the morning, why is not the end of the world? You should try not end of the world. Also, if you haven't got a kli, not end of the world. For washing, for bread, we'll see that on is the end of the world. But here, it's not end of the world if you haven't got it. The Shulchan says, not ma'akev. Look at the very last thing over here. It says, you should make an effort, but you can't, not the end of the world. Okay, so now that we've discussed the ruach ra'ah, why you wash your hands, when you make the brocha, the question is, when do you actually wash your hands? Even if it was out of course, you can still make a brocha. But you should try and get a course. If you haven't got a course, you could just put your hands under tap three times. You could even maybe dip into a bucket, into three different buckets. Is also something which we can see. But lechachir, it's not so difficult. Today we can all afford a cup. Times of Chazal, you know, they had one cup in their house. So if somebody was using it, they wouldn't. But I mean, Baruch Hashem, no one here, I think, has got at least two cups in their house, right? So if your wife's drinking tea out of the one, you can use the other one. Everyone's got a cup. Use a cup. Try with the revit as well, but not that way. Now the question is as follows. When do you wash your hands? So that they're bringing that quite a safer here, the Bach. Now the Bach was one of the super commentators on the tour. Okay? Now I always say like this. People don't know the Bach for two reasons. The Bach had two things against him. The first thing is he featured on the tour opposite the Beit Yosef. Very hard. The Beit Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Very hard to be in the same neighborhood as the Beit Yosef. And he's in the Beit Yosef. It's brilliant. That's number one. Number two, the Bach son-in-law was the Taz, the Turei Zahav of Segal, who's the super commentator on the Shulchan Aruch. And he's aloch almost like him all the time. So when your son-in-law is the Taz, and your neighbor is the Beit Yosef, you've got to feel sorry for the guy. So the Bach is one of those gedolim, who is often looked over, right? But yeah, we bring the Bach. The Bach quotes a sefer called Tolad Yaakov, which is a Kabbalistic sefer. They mentioned over here, written by Rav Meir ben Ravi Yecheskel ben Gaba, none of the sefer really, who was born in Spain in the 1480s, right? And he was still living the same time as the Beit Yosef, but he was more of a mystic. And he writes over there, he says, he quotes the Zohar, and he says that in the Zohar it says, "Ita holech shachir," and you have four amas in the morning without washing your hands, you chayav mita. Now, before we get, something to take care of. Now, what they don't mention in the Sefer is I learned, and I didn't find it over here, that today our houses have the status of Dalit Amot. We live in a big house, and really our whole house is called Dalet Amot. So therefore, today, there's much we need to walk around. You've got to go to the bathroom. You see some guys, I was in Shiva guys, to put like a basin next to their bed with a cup. As they wake up, they do it. Some people still do it. People are makpid because of this Zohar. The other thing is the Vilna Gaon writes as well, and I don't want to go into because it's too complicated. You can all read up over here on page 40 over here. He quotes the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says over there, over the Vilna Gaon, now there was this famous Ger, right? Avram ben Avram Patotki, right? Gruff Patotki he was known as. And in fact, the Vilna Gaon is buried very close to him. He asked very close to him. It's out of a story worth reading it up. They've got all the details over here. The Vilna Gaon said that after he died, he was a ger, and he ran away, came from a very wealthy, noble family, became a Jew. In the end, they came and they captured him back and they killed him. They offered him to give up his Jews and become a goy again. He said no, and they killed him. His father was a nobleman. His father was involved in this. And the Vilna Gaon was very moved by this whole story. Many years later, he asked to be buried next to him. Vilna Gaon said that from the time that he died, all the notion of Ruach Ra'ah is gone from the world. Therefore, he wasn't so particular about this idea of Ruach Ra'ah anymore because of all of that. You can read it up here. It's interesting up here. So the question now is as follows. We've got the water. And we are still, even though the Vilna Gaon said what he said about Ruach Ra'ah, we're still concerned about the water. The water contains, you should know that Chazal are very particular about this. Not touching your heart, not touching your nose, not touching your bum, not touching any open parts of your body, not touching food before you vast. Very important for people to prepare food. If you make your kids sandwiches in the morning, to make sure you vast. If women are preparing food, they've got to vast. Chazal are very, very, very particular about this idea of not touching anything. It's considered dangerous. Other than the Vilna Gaon says that Ruach Ra'ah is blessing the world today, Chazal are very concerned about this Ruach Ra'ah that's got a lot of danger. We've got to be very careful and respect it. So what do you do with the water? So now just look very quickly over here. He quotes the Piskei Teshuvos. We end off now with this. It says, Lo yashke b'em ginato v'atzitzim. Right? The Piskei Teshuvos, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't quote who it was over here, but I think the Piskei Teshuvos, you know, I brought here once many years ago to tell Mon the Biali Rebbe. You know the Biali Rebbe came here? So the Piskei Teshuvos is his nephew. Or if it's not his nephew, it's his first cousin. But it's one of the two. There was the Biali Rebbe. I think that he's the grandson of the Biali Rebbe. I think that he's the nephew of the Biali Rebbe. And lives in Ramat Shlomo, in Yerushalayim, in Ramat Shlomo. He's the chief of Ramat Shlomo, one of the rabbis of Ramat Shlomo in Jerusalem. And he writes here, it's a very accepted sefer. He said, you shouldn't use this water to water your plants or the trees. You shouldn't wash anything with it. You shouldn't wash the floor of your house. Right, but you can pour it down the toilet. And even say you should be married, right? You must be careful to pour into the sink where there are you eating utensils there or drinking utensils there because of the sakana, the danger of Ruach Ra'ah in the water. And if you do that, you should wash them all very, very quickly. So it's very, very particular about it. If you wash it for bread, no. Washing for bread isn't just near Ruach Ra'ah. Washing for bread, I think, is just for it's a good question. I think washing for bread, not. You're prosecuted to this. So now in the Shira, I've got a question here about women. The women should apply as well. You know, you must remember that in the time of the Mishnah Berurah, women were much more people involved in the house and making food, etc. So there's a specific issue about that. But it applies to men and women exactly the same. And the last thing over here is, let's go a moment just to look at the Machshava. They've got you have Machshava. You've got a midrash of Tehillim over here. It says that there's custom, the idea of Hashem being reliable, that He takes our souls and brings them back to us. And that's what this is all about, really. It all starts with the soul departing your body, and if the Ruach Ra'ah coming in, the Ruach Ra'ah leaving your body, the soul coming back, saying Moda'ani, instead of Elokai Netzor, why we wash, either because of preparation for Tefillah or because of the rebirth. But the issue of the Ruach Ra'ah, which is getting rid of the evil spirits, wash your hands three times, to make sure the good, it's a Gemara that already, they said you got to wash your hands. That's already in the Gemara. That's not Chazal. That's in the Gemara. Washing three times. The Vilna Gaon says maybe wash a fourth time. And that way you make sure your hands are clean. Look after the water. Don't spill the water anywhere. Be careful where you put it. And I think we end off over here.